Welcome to our Fabric Scraps podcast today. And what we want to talk about is these federal stimulus checks that are coming through right now, and then also the PPP grants that are supporting small businesses and how they really are kind of parallel to one another. And looking at the dilemma of, I mean, who doesn't want some more money? But at the same time, what kind of ideas and responsibilities do we have in terms of generosity and supporting others and caring for ourselves? I mean, it's a complicated mix. And you very likely are getting some of this money, and you are in a situation of trying to figure out what is the best thing to do with it. So we have gathered some people who have some heart and passion and knowledge and experience in the world of how we use our finances to support other people and ourselves today.
I'm Laureen Harbert, and I am part of Fabric. I'm our treasurer. And so from that respect, I've been working on our own financial health as a community and was involved in putting together our application to the Paycheck Protection Program. I'm also connected with a number of other nonprofits in the community and serve those nonprofits in volunteer capacities and also with financial resources.
I'm Michaela Dalsing, and I'm someone who is really passionate about financial inclusion, specifically making financial services safe and fair financial services available to communities who are typically excluded from the mainstream financial industry. And thankfully, I'm able to intersect that passion with my job. So I'm on a team where we lend money to community development financial institutions who then take the money and lend it to low to moderate income communities.
I am Ward Johnson, and I'm one of the co-owners of the Parkway Theater in South Minneapolis, and I think I'm here to represent the voice of the small business, and specifically a small business that is completely shut down during the pandemic, and we really don't know at this point when we will be able to reopen.
I am Grace Pomeroy. I come to this conversation from a couple of different perspectives. My main passion is really putting together faith, finances, and generosity. The first perspective that I come from is congregational. I'm currently serving at Luther Seminary as the director of the Stewardship Leaders Program, helping congregations to find ways to sustain their ministry during tough times just like this, as well as grow generosity both in the church and beyond that. And then on the other hand, I also own a very small business helping couples to connect their money and their values to create a fulfilling life. So when I think about stimulus checks and the grants that are going out, all of that is very related to the work that I'm doing in the church and outside of it.
And I'm Chris Tripolino. You know, one of the things for us to consider here is just that people are all sort of being impacted by these stimulus measures. We're all coming from really different needs and different experiences. So I guess our interaction with that stimulus is going to be a little bit different. Michaela, I wonder if you could sort of speak to some of that.
Sure. Yeah. As you said, this is affecting everyone very differently. There's some people who desperately need the stimulus check that are not going to be able to get it for whatever reason, whether that's due to immigration status or they don't have a stable address or a bank account. There's some people who may not necessarily need the extra money because their incomes may not be affected. There's some people who don't know if their incomes are going to be affected, and a lot of experiences in between.
So it puts us in a tough situation. And I mean, the reason these grants are given to people without any conditions is to stimulate the economy, right? So with all good conscience, we should just be able to take it and run and do what we want to do with it. But somehow that doesn't quite feel good enough for me.
Yeah. So I've been hearing a lot about people say we're in the same situation. We're in the same boat. This is something that's affecting everybody. And I just heard recently a point of this is actually not affecting us all the same. We're not in the same boat. We are in the same storm, but we're all in very different boats. And some of the boats may be shipwrecked, and some of the boats maybe were ill-equipped to deal with the storm from the beginning, and other boats are probably faring just fine. I thought that was a really useful way to look at this of, yes, we are in the same storm, but this is affecting us very differently, and just important to keep that in mind, I think.
Ward, as a owner of a small business, that a theater is pretty hard to social distance in. So you're closed down and you have no idea. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, so I think the stimulus checks are kind of a parallel to the PPP grants that small businesses are getting. So exactly what Mikhail is saying there, that for some people on an individual basis and for some of those businesses that are getting those grants, they don't really need it. Some of them, they may be affected a little bit. Some companies, their business is actually doing better during the pandemic. But I think for the companies, and similarly with the stimulus checks, for the individuals that really need the money, the ones who lost their jobs, the ones who are just trying to pay rent, you know, for myself at the theater, when we're closed, running at a huge deficit right now from month to month, these checks are really just a drop in the bucket, and they're not going to address the long-term problem.
Yeah, I hear you. And that then to me makes me think about my responsibility for how I'm going to use my check. Grace, as someone who's trying to help people be good stewards of their gifts, like, where do you go with all this?
From an individual standpoint, what I often will try to stress to people is that it's really important to have a balance of saving, spending, and sharing in your budget. And I would think that as the stimulus money comes in, those are things to think about. For some people, you are going to need to put that money to work right away towards bills that need to be paid. Certainly, people are in that situation. But many of us are in the ambiguous middle. And others of us, like myself, are kind of feeling a bit of survivor guilt because my husband and I have not been directly impacted in an economic way other than our investment accounts. Our income hasn't been shortened. We haven't been furloughed. And for us, we feel like it's an opportunity to turn out. Our savings are well in order. We've got the things that we need day to day. So how can we share with others? And living in the North Loop in Minneapolis, a city that is full of entrepreneurs and people who are really struggling, we've been thinking about putting together kind of a separate account to support those entrepreneurs, to know that we are there for them, we are stimulating them with gift card purchases, and yes, we do get something in return for that. But I think it's really helpful to get those businesses generated again, as well as giving to the places and organizations we care about.
Something you said earlier about just how many nonprofits are struggling right now. I had that thought about a month ago. I talked to my wife and we said, we really need to help. What can we do to help? And we started to research a little bit, and it was just overwhelming as we started to dig into it. There's so many boats that are capsized right now. Where do you even start? And so ultimately what we decided was, well, let's just pick one. And, you know, so we picked a homeless shelter in South Minneapolis called Simpson House, that their residents can't leave. So they're having to bring meals in, and they're running at like a enormous deficit right now to provide meals for these homeless people. So we just said, all right, well, let's just pick one. And it feels like a drop in the bucket because there's so many places that are struggling. But I don't know, just to not get completely overwhelmed, it's like, well, just pick one.
The game that people who are not severely impacted by this so far can play is the yet game. Well, I'm not really affected by it yet, and so I'm going to hang on to that money.
Yeah. So something that I've been thinking a lot is the concept of scarcity and enough versus abundance. And even before this, I've always loved Brené Brown, and she talks a lot about this concept of enough. There's a quote that says, "The opposite of never enough isn't abundance or more than you can ever imagine. The opposite of scarcity is enough." And I love that. And I always love that. And I think especially now, it's so easy to fall into a scarcity mindset. And especially when you go to the stores and you see, you know, empty shelves and everything else, it can be really easy to just kind of panic, like collective panic, and be like, well, I don't really need toilet paper, but I should buy it anyways because it's here. And, you know, and I think it's just, yeah, the collective panic and the collective sense of scarcity is something that's just really intense right now. And I keep trying to remind myself of coming back to that concept of what would enough look like in that context.
Right. Lorraine, the whole dilemma of moral responsibility, both for organizations and for individuals, is something that you take really seriously, you always have, and I know you have some thoughts about right now.
Yeah. Well, you know, because I was really involved in our application process for the Paycheck Protection Program, I've been keeping an eye on what's been going on with that through the news. And what's been really interesting to me is some of the public blowback from companies who applied and got a lot of money when they didn't need it. And sort of that public accountability piece that may not have been in the corporate culture, but is being brought up front. So I think, you know, one thing to remember is that this money isn't free. And, you know, it is funding that at some point taxpayers and future generations will have to account for and pay back. You know, there's a responsibility, a corporate responsibility, and then also individual responsibility towards that funding. And I think we've spoken about it, you know, in this conversation, that there are businesses, there are nonprofits, there are individuals whose boats have capsized, and that's what the funding, the intention of the funding is. So how do we stay true to the intention and keep our eyes focused on the intention of the funding? So, you know, I'm involved in another nonprofit that was successful in getting a PPP grant, and it's just made all the difference. And so that's like an example of like, that is what the funding is for. And so you can see sort of both ends of that. And Ward was talking about that, and we've been talking about that during the course of this conversation.
So thinking about the public accountability you were talking about, Lorene, I wonder how our experience of the pandemic itself, you know, like seeing more clearly our interconnectedness and interdependence, has increased the expectation for accountability and responsibility with these funds. Because while there aren't really strings attached, they are, in a sense, for the public good.
Yeah. It's good to think about it that way, as the public good.
It's an ecosystem, really. And, you know, and one can't survive without the other, or there can be a chain reaction. You know, if the airlines go under, then a company that might be successful can't travel across the country, you know, for example. So everybody is kind of individuals. We're all very interconnected, but also realizing that there's a business ecosystem and that we're all really depending upon each other.
Yeah.
Grace, how do you help people understand what enough could mean in their life? Because there's never enough. So that sense of contentment around enough, and to realize that, how do I fight off my own instincts and my own fears and so on?
So one of the important things that I encourage people to do is not think about their stimulus check as one big check. So taking the $1,200 as one big chunk that they can only do one thing with, but to think about it in terms of percentages. So even if you're someone who's in a struggling boat, but your boat has not capsized yet, could you maybe take $120, just 10% of that, and give that away or spend that in a way that helps a business that you know is struggling that you would like to support. So even if you're in a place where you feel like you're anxious, taking a percentage away can really help. In terms of enough, I often will invite people to consider what is their vision of a fulfilling life. And I'm guessing that all of us, myself included, in this new normal have completely redefined what a fulfilling life looks like to them, what it means financially, and what it means in terms of the things and the resources that you have in your life to make it fulfilling. So I encourage you, especially if you are married or part of a family, to sit down with your family and decide together, what does fulfillment look like to us? What do we need to live on a daily basis in the midst of this normal that is today and the new normal that is to come? Do we have our basic needs met? But also, do we have some savings for the future? The biggest thing that I would encourage people to focus on is a short-term emergency fund pot of money. Having that available, I think, is vital. And it's been a hard gospel to preach when there aren't real emergencies in place. But I think now everyone knows the need of why a short-term emergency fund is necessary. So we don't need to go into that. But having even just that $400, $500, even up to $1,000, depending on your family size, it's available for you to tap into should that short-term emergency come up or you've got an expense that throws your family off balance. Having that money set aside is a really good idea. I think that is a big piece of what enough looks like, but honestly, it varies from family to family. So sitting down together and deciding what do we need from day to day and focusing in on that, I think is all the better. And remember, this is just $1,200, $2,400 if you are in a partner relationship and qualify. So this is not something that's necessarily going to completely save your family's life, even if you are furloughed, but it certainly can be helpful. So I think building up that emergency fund is a good idea, making sure you've got those basic needs met and you've got those obligations met in your life, but also pursuing the other resources that are out there. Many mortgage lenders and credit card companies are offering people the ability to delay payment. So make sure that you're looking at all the resources available to you and not counting on this stimulus check to be the one end-all be-all answer to your financial issues.
Right. There's a lot more nuance, a lot more creativity that can be brought to this right now. Well, thank you, everybody, for being a part of this conversation. And I know your thoughts and ideas have made me think more deeply about what happens when that money hits my bank account. And I thought I kind of had it figured out, and now I realize I didn't. And I am thinking about what my enough sounds like compared to what I know a lot of other people's enoughs are. So thank you for that. And I hope other listeners will be doing the same thing. So thanks for all being here.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us.
And thanks for listening. We're glad to be part of this conversation with you as we're all wrestling through these new situations and experiences. To find more resources on how to do this together, go to fabricmpls.com.